Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in Southeast Utah. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These podcasts may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today, we are talking with Robin Scribner, Director of Outreach for TechMoms.org. TechMoms is a nonprofit organization that helps people transition into technology careers and find more successful employment. Through their part-time training programs, TechMoms provide students the opportunity to build their skills, knowledge, and professional network needed to transition into or re-enter a career in tech. Welcome, Robin. It's great to have you with us on Southeast Geeks.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Let's go ahead and get to know you a little bit first before we talk about TechMoms. So, unrelated to your work and work life with TechMoms, tell us maybe two or three things that you would say you are geeky about or things that you like to do here in Southeast Utah.
Well, one of the main things that I am very geeky about is musical theater and Broadway. And that is, I've always loved musical theater. I've done it my whole life as a performer, but also I love to listen to musicals. I love to learn about Broadway shows. So that's probably my main like geeky area. But I'm also super geeky about Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. I loved reading with my kids and reading it as an adult. So that's been a lot of fun for me. And then in Southeast Utah, one of my favorite places to go is Goblin Valley. We go there every year as a family for spring break. We love to play on the goblins. We play hide and seek at night and have a lot of fun there. But we also love hiking in the slot canyons near Goblin Valley. So being in that area is one of our favorite things to do. In the spring, well, any time of year, it gets too hot in the summer, but in the springtime, it's pretty nice. And so we love that area of Southeast Utah.
That's great. It's definitely a treasure. And I like that you mentioned Harry Potter. I think that Harry Potter is a huge fan thing all over the place. And maybe when you go to Goblin Valley, you can kill some goblins with your Harry Potter wands or something, right?
We definitely have made our fair share of wands at our house. That's for sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about TechMoms. First of all, what is it? And can you tell us where you're located and maybe elaborate on what TechMoms does?
Yes, for sure. So TechMoms is an organization, as you mentioned, that helps people transition into technology careers. We have the word moms in our name, and our program really is geared for moms and women because women face a lot of additional challenges moving into tech. And so we've created a program to work around those challenges and help women overcome those barriers. But TechMoms is open to anyone. It's not limited to just women or moms, especially. So we combine career exploration with basic technical training. We teach front-end web development skills. So by the end of our program, all of our students get a good sense of how they want to move forward in a career in tech. And a lot of them will go on for additional training, like in coding. They'll go to a coding boot camp, or they'll take a certificate program in cybersecurity or project management or something like that. But we have a strong belief that there is a career for everyone in tech. And because there's so much opportunity, especially here in Utah in the tech industry, we know that it is a great place for people who are looking to upgrade their career or move into something different to really explore. And also on the flip side, there is such a tech talent shortage in the state that we're solving two problems here. We're helping individuals upskill and get into better jobs, but we're also solving some of the workplace shortage issues that we have among our tech companies here in Utah. So you also asked where we are located. We run in-person programs all along the Wasatch Front up in Ogden and Salt Lake City and down in Utah County, but we also have a virtual program that's fully remote and online that's open to anybody. And so for folks in Southeast Utah who can't or do not want to travel up to the Wasatch Front, we have an online program that would work for them.
If you don't mind me asking, is there a tuition, or how does TechMoms make their money as far as an organization goes?
There is a student portion of the tuition. So we're a nonprofit, so we make most of our operating funds through fundraising, but we do ask a student portion of the tuition. For our online program, that's $300. The program actually costs about $3,000 per student to run. So every student who participates gets a pretty steep discount. But with that said, we do not want tuition. condition or financial difficulty to be a barrier for anyone who wants to do the program and needs to do the program. And so we have payment plans or other ways to work through financial challenges for individual students. We have never turned away a student for an inability to pay for the program.
Are there scholarship opportunities that either people could get from elsewhere or through Tech Moms to help as well?
Yes. So we do offer some scholarships internally through Tech Moms, but also what we found is that some organizations, like we have a bunch of companies that want to sponsor a Tech Mom fully and pay her whole tuition. And some companies even sponsor their own employees to go through our program. They have someone who's maybe not in a technical role, but who has high potential and might be interested in tech. And so that company will sponsor their own employee to go through our program. So there are different ways to pay for the program for those whom that $300 would be a barrier.
Let me ask you this. What would be the best way for individuals and new businesses to contact Tech Moms? And what does it cost to get that assistance? I guess you already said it's $300, but is there other levels of assistance or?
Well, for individuals who want to do our program, that's the only cost to them. So the best way to find out about it is to go to our website. It's www.tech-moms.org. There's a hyphen in the middle of Tech Moms. So you can go to our website and learn all about our program. There's also an application link there. So if there's someone who wanted to join Tech Moms as a student and go through our program, that's where you apply for the program. We'll be running an online program this summer coming up probably June and July of 2022. And then we run programs also in the fall and in the spring. So we're pretty much running year round. But for businesses who'd want to learn more about our program, there are a bunch of ways that we engage with businesses. They could just contact me directly, Robin, R-O-B-B-Y-N, at techmoms.org. Or there's a contact us button on our website as well for people to get to know a little bit more about our organization and anybody who wants to get involved. One of the ways that companies reach out to us all the time is because they're looking for talent. They want to recruit some of our Tech Moms. And so I'm having conversations with small businesses, large businesses all the time who are looking to hire tech talent.
That's great. Another question for you. With a name like Tech Moms, I assume your primary customers are women with children, but do you currently have men or single men or other individuals, maybe women that don't have children in the program? And how does that work?
Yes, we do. So our name is Tech Moms, and we've actually had some women come to our program because of our name. That women often feel like tech isn't right for them, and especially moms with children. So we've had some women say, I really wanted to get into tech, and I saw your program with that name, Tech Moms, and I said, that's a place where I belong. That's a place where I'm going to be welcome. So we're really proud of our name. We love our name, but we have lots of women who've gone through our program who are not moms, and that's totally fine. We are open to men. We have not yet had a male student go through our program. And we know that that's something that will change soon. But yeah, anyone is welcome to apply. And the program's really open to everyone for whom it's a good fit.
So to follow up on that, have you had any businesses or entrepreneurs from maybe the Southeast Utah region here? Or where do most of your people come from? Wasatch Front?
The in-person, they all come from along the Wasatch Front. In our online programs, I'm trying to think for sure. I know we have had several students from rural areas of the state of Utah. And so those, you know, who can't make it into an in-person cohort. And the online program is also, you know, more convenient for a lot of people who maybe have health issues. We've been running all through COVID. So for someone who can't be joining us in person, the online's been a great fit as well. And just for people maybe with childcare issues or other things like that. So I'm not positive right offhand if we've had students who are coming right from your own counties here in the Southeast area, but definitely we would love to welcome students from your area, and they'd be a great fit for the program.
And one more follow-up to that question. Is there like a age minimum that you would accept for your programs?
We don't necessarily have an age minimum. I mean, the age minimum would be 18. That would be the minimum. But we have asked in the past a couple of years after high school. So either a couple of years working or a couple of years attending school, some kind of higher ed after high school. I would say our average age for student runs from the early 30s through the 40s, but we've had women in their 50s do the program. We joke sometimes that we've got plenty of tech grandmas in our program as well, not just tech moms. So you do need to be a couple of years out of high school. Although if we had a student that wanted to come straight out of high school, we'd definitely be open to the conversation. But usually our main demographic is people who've either been out of the workforce for a while and they're looking to do a career re-entry, but also people who've been working in other industries for a while, they've got some work experience, but they are looking for new opportunities and want to transition into tech. You know, I just said they want to transition into tech, but I just want to add that a lot of our students aren't exactly sure what they want to do. Most of them aren't exactly sure what they want to do. And that's really the purpose of our program, is to help people learn what is going to be the right pathway for them. So you shouldn't feel limited by saying, oh, I know exactly that I want to go into tech. You just need to know that you're looking for something new and different, and tech might be an area that you think might be a good fit for you.
Well, that leads me to the next question I wanted to ask you. What are some of the greatest challenges that you see for entrepreneurs and new businesses facing wherever they are, I guess, whatever challenges they're facing? How do tech moms help them out?
Great question. So anytime you're starting a new organization, there's a huge learning curve, right? I've started a small business in the past. About 10 years ago, I launched a tech startup with my husband. And I learned a lot there. And actually, Tech Moms is a startup as well. It's just a nonprofit startup. So we never have the promise of getting very, very rich one day, but we're building something from scratch as well. So there's a steep learning curve. And with Tech Moms, one of the challenges is raising money. But just with any new organization, any new startup or entrepreneurship endeavor, one of the big challenges is going to be getting sales, finding your customers, those things like that. And so I think a lot of the challenges are similar, even though it's a different type of organization. And another challenge that everyone is facing right now is a talent crisis, especially here in the state of Utah. Our unemployment rate is at 2.9%. We are so fully employed and have so many organizations looking to hire people. So that's one of the ways that small businesses have one unique challenge, is that finding new talent might be difficult, and also being able to compete with larger organizations. Maybe they can't pay salaries that are as high or offer the benefits that are as great. So that's one of the challenges for small businesses, I think. But I think one of the opportunities is they can compete in different ways. So startups and small businesses can maybe compete better on flexibility, or they can compete better with mentoring, offering mentoring opportunities, or really great opportunities for learning and growth. I tell women all the time, if you want to learn more than you have ever learned in your life, go work at a startup, because you have to fill so many different roles and learn so many different skills. So that's a way that small businesses actually have an advantage in recruiting, is they can offer some things that some of these large companies can't offer. So one of the ways that Tech Moms can help support entrepreneurs or small business owners is by connecting them with some of this talent that might be willing to work for a lower wage at a lower price, you know, a lower salary, but is really eager for the opportunity to learn and grow and get some mentoring support in their own career. So that's one of the ways that we love to work with small businesses and entrepreneurs.
That's really great, especially for those populations of people that want that versatility in their employment, right? I think more and more with COVID and with recent technologies, people are realizing that people can do these things without having to necessarily be 9 to 5 and without having to be in a typical office and things like that. And small businesses, entrepreneurs, startups, that's kind of the meat and potatoes of their organization, is they don't have those things. So they need to figure it out, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I think for so many of the people in your region, the remote work is going to be so attractive. And now that it's much more open and available, I'm so excited for the opportunity for companies to say, well, we're not limited to the talent in our own local, you know, within 30 minutes of our office. We can reach out to people living and working in rural areas of the state. As long as they've got a great internet connection, they're going to be able to do the work that they need to do for us. So I think it's opened up a lot of opportunities for remote work, especially for those in rural areas of the state.
Looks like the geek is on the sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
Well, it's game time now. We always like to play a game on Southeast Geeks, and we call it Geeky or Game Over. And so what we do is we'll ask you about a particular item, and you tell us if you're geeky about it, if you really like it or enjoy it. You can tell us game over if you don't like it or never heard of it. Does that make sense? You ready to play?
It does. I'm ready.
Okay. So first one, board games.
Oh, I have to say game over. Even though I know that it's a good way to get my kids off of their technology. So I want to play board games. Well, I want to play board games. I don't really love it, but I do play board games sometime, but I'm not geeky about board games.
Sports.
Geek. I'm geeky about sports, but only some sports. I don't love all sports, but I love volleyball. I love tennis. And I love watching soccer. I never thought that I would, but once my kids started playing soccer, I realized it actually is fun to watch if you understand what's going on.
My biggest complaint about soccer is I hate the offsides rule.
Yeah.
You know, and then the second biggest complaint I have is if a team is driving the ball downfield, right? And they're looking like they're going to score, all the other team has to do is kick it out of bounds. And the only penalty, so to speak, is the other team gets to throw it in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that, there goes all the momentum, right?
Do you know what you would love is indoor soccer. Have you watched indoor soccer?
No, but I hear there is no out of bounds, basically.
It's so fun. There's no out of bounds and there's no offsides. So it's really fast moving. I've been watching that a lot because it's winter. And so my kids are playing indoor soccer. It's high scoring. It's fast paced. It's so much fun. So it's a great, if those are the things you don't like about soccer, you might like indoor soccer.
Good to know. All right. Video games.
Game over. I hate video games.
Well, I think you answered that earlier when we were on the board game question, right?
I tell you, I think for parents of my generation, at least parents like me, my biggest challenge, I've got six kids ages 22 down to 10. And by far, my biggest challenge as a parent has been trying to keep my kids off technology for the last 22 years. And video games are my nemesis. So a game over for me on video games. I hate them.
So you're keeping them off technology, but you're called tech moms?
I know. I'm keeping them off technology. That's a waste of time and it eats their brains for oatmeal breakfast. I love people to learn technology if it's going to help them get a great job. I know. I'm a little bit inconsistent there.
Well, I think we all are. My wife has the same kind of thing with, we go to the pediatrician and one of the questions he asks is, how much screen time is your daughter getting? And my wife's response to it really is, I love TV. I love screen time. It's my babysitter. It's taught my child how to read and or how to speak, you know, these sort of things. But yes, at the same time, you know, we need to kick them off of it because they're living their life on a screen, right?
Oh yeah. I think every parent has a love-hate relationship with it. But for me, I fall more on the hate end. I would much rather they be outside jumping on the trampoline or playing make-believe than inside watching TV, for sure.
Next one, Harry Potter. I don't think I need to ask you this, but I'm doing it anyway.
Geek all the way. I was late to the game. So my husband was reading my kids the Harry Potter books when they were little, and I wasn't involved with that. But when I was pregnant with my fifth kid, I was super sick and I couldn't do anything. But I was just laying around on the couch and I read a book every single day. Like I was reading a book a day during the real sick parts of that pregnancy. And so I read all the Harry Potter books in, it might've taken me 8 days. A couple of the real long ones might've taken me more than 1 day to read, but I read them all in a really short period of time. And I'm like, oh, these are great. I love the movies. I love Harry Potter world. We're just a geeky Harry Potter family around my house.
Yeah, I think I would sympathize with you a little bit. I was reading this series and I wanted to get it done because I was really engaged. And so I remember book 7, I finished it at like 2 or 3 in the morning and I had to get to work that next morning. So that was...
Oh, yeah. I've been there so many times. Let me just make a recommendation for probably most people who love Harry Potter also know about the audiobooks, but the audiobooks read by Jim Dale are absolutely priceless. And that's the way my youngest kid read them. We bought them all at the beginning of the pandemic and listened to them all day long, trying to get him something to do when he was stuck at home. And those audiobooks, I've listened to them again. I listened to several of them just this January. I decided that the Harry Potter audiobooks are like comfort food for the ears and for the brain in a bleak winter month. So the audiobooks I highly recommend.
Okay, Star Trek.
Game over. I am not a Star Trek person at all. I don't like any science fiction. Although I will say that the reboot version of Star Trek directed by J.J. Abrams, I did like those because I really, really love J.J. Abrams. I don't really like Star Trek, but I love the director, and so I found those fun. But for the most part, not a Trekkie at all.
Okay, hiking.
Geeky. I love to hike. It's one of my favorite outdoor activities. So I love to hike in the forest and the mountains, but I also really enjoy hiking in desert red rock areas, as I mentioned, the slot canyons before. So I love hiking.
Any particular place? You did say Goblin Valley, but any other particular place?
Yeah, we love Little Wild Horse and Ding Dang, those slot canyons down there in Goblin Valley. But I love hiking in the mountain. I mean, all the trails on the back of Timpanogos. That's where I live in the Orem area. So hiking up on those mountains near Timp, all those different trails back there, so beautiful. I love it.
Do you ever hike to the cave?
Yes, I've done the cave before. It's great. It's hard on the calves. It's very steep, those trails getting up to the cave, but I love it. It's fantastic. I've never taken my kids up there. I need to get my kids into Timp Cave.
We did that once or twice, and yeah, like you said, it's kind of hard on the knees, hard on the calves, but it's magical once you get inside that cave, right?
Oh yeah, they're so cool.
Okay, Lord of the Rings.
Game over. I am not a Lord of the Rings fan. So Harry Potter is a little bit of anomaly for me because I actually don't usually enjoy fantasy very much at all. And Harry Potter's much more accessible than a lot of high fantasy. So I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much. But Lord of the Rings, not for me. I don't enjoy it at all. I have seen the movies. I've never read any of the books. So I guess it's not really fair to me to say that I don't like them, but I've never had any interest in reading any of the books. Let's put it that way.
So, yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. I've read all the books, I've watched the movies, and I think I like the movies better.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the books are written in kind of an old English format, and we don't speak that way here in the United States. And so it's kind of hard to understand that. And then when they put it in a visual format, you can really, it comes to life, I guess. Whereas old English is not the way I speak, so it's hard for me to digest it, I guess. But
The movies are beautiful. I will say that. The filmed down in New Zealand. I've been to New Zealand and it's amazing. So the movies are visually stunning. I appreciate that about them. I think they're a little long and a little just not for me.
we had a my brother was just returning from an LDS mission, and when he came home, we had a Lord of the Rings fan fest thing where we sat and watched all the movies.
Oh
I
my
don't recommend
gosh.
it. It was like 14 hours or something like that.
Oh,
So,
wow. That makes for a long few days.
yeah, exactly. Next one, river rafting.
Total geek. I love river rafting. I don't do it very often because I haven't found the opportunities or made enough opportunities, but I love it so much. And I plan to do it a lot more because I really enjoy it. It's so much fun.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you'll be really geeky about this one. Dungeons and Dragons.
Game over. Not for me. But I appreciate the fact that it's created such a great community for so many people who don't love a lot of the things that kind of mainstream Americans love, like sports and other things. I'm making stereotypes here and generalizations, of course, but I have lots of loved ones who love Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm so happy that they have something that they love so much and they build this community around, but it's not for me.
So I have to tell you a little story about that, because a previous person we interviewed, it was actually a superintendent for a school district. And I asked her this same question, and she said, "Well, I got to tell you a story." And her story was that she had students approach her about starting an RPG club. And she's like, "An RPG club?" She's like, "No, we can't do that. We can't have rocket propelled grenade club, you know?" And they're like, "No, our RPG is like role playing games, like Dungeons and Dragons." And she's like, "What's that?"
Oh my goodness. I would want to see that rocket propelled grenade club. That would be pretty amazing.
Might be costly. You probably need to up
Right?
the insurance, right?
Yes, for sure. Oh, that's so funny.
Next one, Star Wars.
Is there a middle ground? Do I have an option? Does it have to be binary? I would say probably game over in that I appreciated the movies as a kid. I did watch some of them as an adult. But I haven't kept up with them. And I've never been like a Star Wars fan. I would never have considered myself a fan. I just watched them because everybody did.
This new generation of stuff on Disney Plus, I think, has been helpful, because my kids really don't like Star Wars either. And I wasn't a big fan, but it was fun. It
Yeah.
was kind of exciting, right? But they love the little baby Yoda
Yeah.
creature. And so they have all these plush toys of it. And my little 3-year-old daughter's like, "Grogu, Grogu," whenever she sees the little creature on TV. So
Oh, so cute. Well, it has been nice. I mean, both with Star Trek and with Star Wars, the reboots have been nice to help a new generation like kind of get into something that their parents may have really loved. So it's fun for, parents and kids to really enjoy something together, even though their first exposure to it was a generation apart.
Right. How about Walking Dead?
I have heard of it, but I have never watched it, nor have I had any interest in watching it. So I would say game over on that.
I've got a coworker that is big into zombie things. And so, I'm sure she's watched every episode. But anyway, it wasn't for me either. Last of all, superhero movies.
I would say very mild geek. Like I've seen most of the Marvel movies, maybe like 75% of them, and I've enjoyed them. I think they're fun. I love Tom Holland, so I love his Spider-Man movies. I think he's delightful. So some of them I really, really love, but overall I'm not a huge superhero fan. And there's a lot about that whole world that I know nothing about. So I would call myself a very mild geek when it comes to superheroes.
I think there's kind of a romantic allure that, there's somebody out there that could do this or that superpower. Sometimes you always wish that, oh, if I could be invisible for a day or if I could fly or something, right? And so it kind of tailors to that wishful thinking, I guess.
Yeah. I'll tell
But
you what I do love. I love witches. I love witches. So if that kind of fills that role for me, like, oh, witches, they have power. And it's all good witches. Like people who read books about witches, the witches are always good. And so like witches have powers, they can do good things. So that's my superhero is like good witches.
have you ever seen The Good Witch?
I don't think I have. Is that a movie?
I don't know. I think it's a TV series on, I think I saw it on Netflix or something. I never actually watched it. I just was scrolling and I
I
saw
haven't. I'll have to check it out.
Okay. Well, that concludes our game. Let's get back to the interview, back to the not so fun stuff. I don't know. So, next question I wanted to ask you is, to be clear, what are some of the most common things that people ask of tech moms that tech moms does not do or doesn't work on?
That's a great question. And this is something I always clarify whenever we're bringing anybody into our program. So the most important thing to know is that Tech Moms is not a full coding boot camp. Sometimes people call it a boot camp and they think after they do our 9-week program, they'll be ready to get a job as a software developer. And that's not the case. So we're more of an introduction to tech careers and we teach some basic tech skills, basic coding skills, but not enough to help you become a software developer. So that's the main thing. We're not a full training program. So after our program, most people who are looking to go into pretty technical careers will need additional training after our program. Other than that, that's the main question that we get where people have maybe misconceptions about what we do, but I think that's it.
Okay. Slight change of topic. Actually, it's a complete change of topic. Southeast Utah is packed with numerous outdoor opportunities, and you've talked to us about Goblin Valley. What are some of your favorite adventures that you like to go on? You mentioned hiking, and maybe what are some places you'd like to go to throughout the state or Southeast Utah that you haven't gone to?
Oh, that's a great question. So I would say that hiking is my number one activity. Like I've never been one for outdoor recreation vehicles. We don't own a ATV or a side by side or anything like that. So I've never done that. Or we don't have a speedboat. Maybe it's just because I don't have a lot of money. I probably would love those things if I had them,
So
but
do you want to know, look, I gotta say this with a boat, because I used to have one. Do you know what boat stands for?
What?
Bet on another thousand.
I love it.
Because
I'll
you're
tell.
always dumping money into
Yeah,
it.
my dad always tells the joke that the second happiest day of a boat owner's life is the day he buys the boat, and the happiest day is the day he sells his boat. So that's another one about the boats there. So I love to ride. My brother-in-law has a boat. I love to ride on his boat, but we have not gone down that pathway. But I love to kayak actually. So I love human-powered watercraft. I really enjoy that. So I don't know enough about the opportunities in Southeast Utah to say, oh, I've always wanted to go to this place. So maybe you can let me know. I would love to do more river rafting. I don't know if there's a river that runs through Southeast Utah that would get me, that's a good river rafting river, but I want to do more river rafting and I'm always looking for new places to hike. I love hiking.
So maybe a good possibility for you would be the Green River.
I have rafted down the Green River out of Flaming Gorge or into Flaming Gorge. Is
Probably
that the Green
out of
River?
Flaming Gorge because
Okay.
that's the dam up there. So yeah, the Green River is a pr it got some pretty good rapids. I think there's actually an area called Nefertiri Rapids or something like that. There's several put in places. There's actually even a beach along the Green River where people like to recreate, and it's a place to take out water rafts and such. That's a pretty popular place.
Oh, I'll need to check that out. That sounds awesome.
If you're into history and petroglyphs and things like that, we've got 9 Mile Canyon, which I just learned is the largest collection of petroglyphs in the world.
I love petroglyphs. Okay, I definitely need to check that out. I've seen them in some of the other places in Utah, but I've never been there. Ooh, I would love to see that. That's fantastic.
So there you go, some weekend getaways for you.
Thank you.
Very last question, unless you wanted to have other things you wanted to say about tech moms. Anything else you want to say about tech moms?
You know, I would love to invite people to, if they're interested at all, come check out our website, learn about it. That's for individuals who maybe would want to do our program. But if there are companies that, first of all, are interested in getting, you know, more individuals into their organization, especially if they've got some entry-level roles they'd love to fill, I would love for them to reach out to me. And also, if you want to become a sponsor of Tech Moms as a nonprofit, we're always looking for people who want to support in a variety of different ways. That can look like a lot of different things. So if your organization, your startup is interested in Tech Moms and would like to learn more, I would love to hop on a call with you and tell you what our program is all about and the ways that we work with companies. Oh, the last way is that we bring in guest speakers. That career exploration is we bring in women who are working in all different kinds of tech jobs, and we do that virtually. So if you're a woman working in tech and you'd love to come be a guest speaker for us, I'd love to talk to you about that too. So those are the different ways that we work with individuals and with companies.
Do you work at all with the Rural Online Initiative?
Yes, we have partnered with them, and we're hoping to strengthen that partnership because we know that's such a good pathway for people to find those remote jobs.
Well, great. I know Jordan Leonard pretty good. He's our kind of rep for the Rural Online Initiative. So we'll make sure when we air this podcast that he gets a copy of it and they can kind of hear a little bit more about Tech Moms through this podcast. So
Oh, that would be fantastic.
well, we're pretty much out of time, so I have a final question that I always like to ask, and it's from a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being highest. How geeky are you? And let's say, how geeky are you about Harry Potter?
So I would not rank myself as a 10 just because I know people who are geekier than I am about Harry Potter, but I'd probably give myself a solid 8. I think I'm pretty geeky about Harry Potter.
Finally, and to close things off, how geeky is Tech Moms as far as a resource for individuals and entrepreneurs?
I'm sure everyone says this, but I would have to give us a 10 out of 10. We're a fantastic resource, especially for individuals who are looking to go into tech and are not quite sure how to do it. I don't know of a better resource out there for people who are in that specific situation.
Great. Thanks for your input. Thanks for talking to us today on Southeast Geeks. Any last plugs or things you'd like to say before we end?
I don't think so. I love what you're doing here. I love all the opportunities that you've got and that you're developing in Southeast Utah. And I can't wait to get in there and check out some of the great places you told me to go visit.
Until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Southeast Geeks.